An Ohio family is coping with another round of heartbreak after the cemetery where their son is buried removed a Bigfoot statue that he had at his grave because they deemed it offensive. Trevor Zuniga passed away from muscular dystrophy this past January, and as a tribute to his love of Bigfoot, his family placed a statue of the creature at his grave. You can read the entire story right now over at Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Dr. Carmen Balter. We're going to be taking your calls for the rest of the evening. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Dr. Carmen Balter. We've been discussing all things Egypt, little Nefertiti, little King Tut thrown in all night. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tom Wildcard. Tom, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Doing good, Tom. What do you have for Carmen?
I have a couple of things. First of all, I have two questions and a corroboration. The questions are about the Sahara. I always wondered, the giant desert, 10,000, 12,000 years ago, it used to be a jungle. What happened? Who lived there? And were they associated with people in Egypt? And number two is, I've been listening to you guys all night. Nefertiti went up north to wherever. Well, why? And maybe I missed it. But did she have, her grandpa lived up there? Or, you know, what's going on with that? I don't get it. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but what was the reason why they went up there? And the third thing is, somebody I'm related to, double doctorate, who does carbon dating in Europe, I was talking to him. I was laying here and listening to you guys, and he started talking about this, and he mentioned they got something from, I thought he said Iran, Turkey, and I said, what? Iran, Turkey? And he goes, no, Haran, Turkey. And that's my corroboration. I wonder if that has anything to do with what's going on with the good doctor. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Two great questions. One, the
no,
Sahara.
No, it was three, and it's all over the place, and it's hard to remember each question.
No, I have it written down here. First one is the Sahara. And who were the people that lived in the ancient Sahara before Egypt?
Okay, so there was climate change, and there were other people who lived before them. Who were they? And these are big questions. You can't just throw them around in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Come on, you can't just, oh, yeah, I know who it was. Poseidon.
Well, they depend on you because...
construction company in 58,000 BC to build the pyramids. Do you feel better?
Yeah, but Carmen, you're the smart one in the room. But, you know, that's...
You can't ask me three questions 3 hours into an interview and have me come out with an answer that satisfies it all.
I know.
People get confused and they throw out these crazy questions. Sorry, but... They're good questions, but not three in a row.
Okay. So then we'll just do two. Nefertiti heading north. What was the reason for her to head north? Was she going up for a specific reason?
No, she was just trying to go anywhere safe. And we don't know that this happened for sure. I feel it did.
Right.
Because the Mediterranean, because Africa, I don't know. Who cares why she went north or who built the pyramids and why? You know, back again to Mr. and Mrs. Poseidon hired the ABC construction company in 58,000 BC. Do you feel better? She went north, she went south, she left.
Okay, let's go to west of the Rockies. Let's go to Ginny in Tacoma, Washington. Ginny, welcome to Coast AM. Ginny? Okay, there's nobody there, so we'll go to right here, Singletown, California, and Roger. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hi. I have a question regarding the linguistics of the ancient Egyptians, and, you know, whether it was a phonetic alphabet, which I think it was, that they've discovered, but was it one of the bases of the phonetic alphabets of the Mesopotamia region and maybe even on over to the Indus Valley?
So first of all, I have a PhD in linguistics,
I speak Hindi.
Pardon me?
I speak Hindi, and
good
I've studied
you.
It for years. So
okay,
I see a lot of the...
Okay, one at a time here.
Things. Yeah.
One at a time. Go ahead, Carmen.
Yeah, because this... I just get derailed by questions that then go to, I know something. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's very hard for me to hear two questions at a time that are in two different directions.
Well, just one question would be fine. You know, I'm just wondering if it has been determined that the Egyptian language was one of the foundation languages of the Mesopotamian region.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
It's not Arabic is Egyptian now.
Mm-hmm.
Suf, according to Hakim, was the ancient Egyptian language. Everything leads back to something. There was a common writing, and that's what's in the New Atlantis. And Klaus Dana has helped to establish this. Like and the runes in Angels and Archetypes, my book, is coming up with these similar symbols that could have been Atlantean writing.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of where I was getting at.
It's not
yeah.
easy to establish it. There's lots of academic protocol that smashes everything apart. And I'm going to show you in the New Atlantis how a unified writing system happened before the Tower of Babel.
Goes way back. One of the things that I've noticed is that this language is very sophisticated. When you look at Sanskrit, which is the basis for Hindi, modern Hindi, it's extremely sophisticated. The way they write is like speed writing, and one little notation can mean so much. And the word Ra in the ancient Egyptian is very important in Sanskrit as well as in Hindi. There's about four different ways to write the R, and it's really complex. So I see that some of this stuff must have come through over the years. It's amazing. I really think it's amazing. So
well,
thank you for that
fair.
Question.
And I feel energized by that statement. I mean, I've been feeling like a little debilitated by other, you know.
Well, I understand, but, you know.
No, but there's something to it, and it does lead to something.
Yeah, it's amazing
the way
these ancient languages are constructed. I mean, people think that they're pictures or that they're just pictographs or whatever. They are so complex. It's like they're alien or something. It's amazing to me to see that. When I first started studying language, I didn't understand that these things were quite so complex. They're mathematical. They're just mathematic.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Roger, thank you for that absolutely amazing phone call. Let's go back to Wildcard. Let's go to the Midwest. Let's go to Kentucky. And Richard, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
We're good, Richard. What do you have for the good doctor?
A few hours ago tonight, I watched what was apparently a rerun of a show called Atlantis Found. Basically, the conclusion that was arrived at, and it seemed fairly plausible to me, that what was the original site of the Atlantis that Plato speaks of was somewhere in the region of the Santorini caldera. I was wondering what your guests thought of that.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's the simplest thing. That's the thing that we've most accepted. Atlantis was a worldwide seafaring culture. And what Plato said has been analyzed of all the different places, Troy, Santorini, Azores, High Altiplano, Peru, Antarctica, many places. And he talked about elephants, and he talked about two seasons and coconuts and pineapples and many things. And nothing has been concluded in any of the documentaries, and this is what the New Atlantis is tackling, the whole idea. And so, as I said, I've got footage from 10 countries. Well, one of the countries is Indonesia. And I've spoken in 14 countries at universities, and one of the ones was in Bandung, Indonesia. Bandung, sorry, got it wrong. And I was keynote. It was a full-day conference, and there were three speakers.
and all of us giving physical evidence of Atlantis, the main city, with all of the points, 100% of the points that Plato spoke about, elephants, all of it. Being in, drum roll please, Jimmy, you want to know?
I think I do. Can I guess?
Java,
South China Sea.
Nah. Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's the South Java Sea.
Yeah, in that general area, though.
Not general, it's specific. What? And it's the Ring of Fire. It's Java. It's Indonesia.
Yeah, as opposed to the Mediterranean or the Straits of Gibraltar.
That doesn't mean that there weren't colonies there.
Right.
Atlantis was a worldwide seafaring culture. But all the stuff with the rings and the track around the outside that I don't think was a racetrack, I think, whatever I think, is there, 100% of it.
Richard, thank you
and
for the phone call.
There. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Richard. Excellent, excellent question. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. And the reason why I'm saying that, Carmen, it's looking more and more. It makes a lot of sense. Because not only is it the location and certainly the seasons and elephants and coconuts would make a lot of sense, but also the amount of islands that are there that are underneath the there's a lot of land there that is now underneath and submerged that was there at one point.
Exactly.
And we're starting to see
that's
now. Let's go to Bill up in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. And I wish to give just a few words that lead to my question. In Encyclopedia Britannica, 13th edition, 1926, I paraphrase, the base of word pyramid is unknown. I submit it is Finnish or a Finno-Ugric word. Pyörä is wheel. Mitta is measure. They built the Great Pyramid to measure the flow of time. The 12 zodiac star patterns in the night sky. And they were Finno-Ugric people. Egypt means Aika Pitaya. Aika is time. Pitaya is keeper. The timekeeper nation by way of the stone pyramid clock. Nephilim is Ne, Ulimet. Ne is the, and the, those above. Ne, Ulimet. Uli is above, Mitta. So on. Nefertiti is very.
Okay, Bill.
Lady.
Bill, I understand.
Yeah, really, Jimmy, I want to hang up on you for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Bill.
Too many things that can each be unpacked. It's like 27 things at me at the same time. Somebody's ranting. All
oh,
of the
come on, not
traceable things. And I want to go now. Can I hang up on you, Jimmy?
We're going to break, Carmen. So, you know, I understand conversations and phone calls can
be disturbing to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It happens. You know, that's what happens when it's open lines. You just never know.
You can unpack it all, but don't throw 10 things into the field to have one answer.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
It's never going to happen.
What's that?
It's never going to happen. But this is what people do. I've had tens of thousands of people approach me with that kind of rant of, it's this, it's all the things I read, and now I think that it's Starship Enterprise meets Hathor.
Right. And see, I'll tell you, one of the things that I really enjoy, and it's a challenge, Carmen, as you can imagine, and you've known me for a while, one of the things that I enjoy is taking phone calls and not knowing what's coming up. And that's the challenge that I enjoy. You just never know. Yeah, I know.
I don't. I'd rather have you ask me questions, because mostly what I dislike, I've been on Coast for 23 hours, 10 appearances, and on Beyond Belief with George, and you and Sage of Black. Questions, have random people come up with their ideas of things they can blend, and it just shows me how we've lost our way to understand things. So you take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, shake it up, and spew it out. And I could unpack every bit of it if they were my client and I was supposed to understand every bit. I could trace it back to something that they heard
right.
or saw and unpack it.
Yeah, and isn't it? Yeah, I know. And isn't it interesting how people are so curious that they go out now, and not only do they listen to you and listen to me, but they read and they see documentaries, and they go out because of the internet and the access to information. They go out and they study, and they are curious, and all they want to do is learn. And they're not getting the right answers from the right sources. And then you're
but it's not an answer or a source. It's a sorting system. It is discernment. What is right? What is it? What isn't? What feels right? What we open to? What we contract against?
Right, right.
And they've lost the sorting system.
And how do we
so
get?
Like, I have all these questions. I have all these questions. Answer. I've got 1 minute on coast. Answer me.
Right, right, right.
It's scramble. It's a scramble of constructs and concepts. And I have had 15,000, 16,000 emails from people writing their story out. Don't do this. Don't email me with that. It's this, it's that. My daughter drew a picture when she was 5 and it looks like an animation on the pyramid code. Don't email me with that.
Right, right. Yeah, I get it. And they're, like I said, they're constantly looking for answers. They're going in one direction.
Where we started a couple hours ago was there's people who don't care because they're consumers and spectators. And there's people who do care, but they don't know how to sort it out because our system, the establishment, has stolen that from us, toxified us. People don't understand how I call it Wi-Fi, comes into, and then we want to know. It's just, it's desperate. It's desperate, Jimmy, and I really respect what we're doing here. This is a very powerful interview. I was on a film shoot all day. I'm editing. I've got all the... And you say 4 hours on coast. I respect George. Hello to George. It's important.
Right. Well,
people are mixed up.
I want to thank you for everything that you have done. And now, where can everybody go to get updates on the New Atlantis and get release dates?
Okay, Facebook. The New Atlantis Movie. Website, thenewatlantismovie.com, and pyramidcode.com. And because I'm on film shoots and editing and everything, the website is not that up to date. But like us on Pyramid Code Facebook and The New Atlantis Movie Facebook. Like us there, and we'll take you to the next step.
Thank you so much, Carmen, and have a great, safe rest of your weekend, and always keep rolling that rock uphill.
Okay. Yeah, we're rolling the rock uphill. Jimmy, I really appreciate you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Carmen. Dr. Carmen Balter, everybody. And I got to tell you, bringing her on is so important for everybody. Her research and what she does and how she does it and how she gets it done is so important to everybody. And I have asked her many times over the years, how frustrating is it to constantly deal with this kind of situations that she deals with, and it's she chooses to ignore. She continues to do her own thing. The Pyramid Code is one of the best documentary series out there anywhere. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls right after this short break. Stay with us. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm gonna take your calls for the rest of the night. Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Doug, Wild Card. Doug in North Carolina. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, how you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. Getting off work at 1 a.m., working in a call center, taking calls all night, just like you, apparently.
Yes, sort of. Yeah, same thing.
The butt end of the show tonight, pretty interesting. I was hoping to talk to Carmen, but that's all gravy. I was gonna talk about the last UFO sighting that actually had. We have a lot around here where I live in North Carolina, and close to Brown Mountain, actually, about 45 minutes from Asheville.
Yep, know the area.
Lots of activity in the area. And the last one I saw was actually on my way home. I get off at 1 a.m. I work second shift. And I was driving home, got off the interstate, and towards my house, and see an odd light in the sky. I mean, there's occasionally something, you know, we live close to an airport, regional airport, so, I mean, you got to be skeptical of, you know, certain things. You know, you got to say, oh, that's a plane or that's something else. But I've had quite a few experiences ever since I was probably about 18, 19 years old. And the most recent one was just like 2 or 3 weeks ago, actually. The very bright, pulsing red light in the sky. And I stop, and I'm at a stop sign about to turn into my road. I'm like, that's a little odd. You know, there's no flashing lights. It's just like pulsating, and it's really bright red.
Right.
And,
was it like a brown mountain orb type of object?
No, not an orb. This was just a big red light. And so this blew my mind because I've had other really interesting. I've seen orbs. I've actually, got with MUFON and had people contact me about that and other experiences that I've had, and just, you know, try to register everything that I can when I have time. But, yeah, this was something different. This really blew my mind. Other stuff, you know, I see, I'm like, oh, that's, it's like it's almost become like a regular thing, and it doesn't really affect me as much, I guess, as some of my friends that have been with me, my brothers, things have happened. And to me, it's just like, oh, yeah, what do you think that is? And they're like, oh, that's the top of the tower or something. I'm like, no, I'm like, look again. And then something, you know, it'll be right above us in the split of a second or something like that. But, you know, I've had multiple experiences, and this last one actually blew my mind a little bit. And so it was like a big pulsating red light in the sky, and as soon as I saw it, it basically stopped pulsating. It was just kind of stopped and was like a glowing red. And then it looked like a shooting star almost. You know how in a shooting star will looks like it comes out of the atmosphere really fast. This came like directly, like horizontally or vertically down straight to it, like very fast. It looked like a shooting star that connected with this light.
Interesting.
And I was just like, what?
Well, what how, Doug, I'm going to get to some of the calls, but tell me, how did it end?
Well, it ended with me it continued, like, after the light came down to it, like it absorbed it or something. I tried, like, to follow it for a while, and then, you know, this kind of mountainous around here, like hilly, I live in the Piedmont area, it got out of my view, and then it was gone. Like, as soon as I turned to follow it, had to go through some trees and things like that, got out of my eyesight. But as soon as I got to a higher elevation area in the direction that it was going, it wasn't there anymore. So,
wow. Hey, Doug, yeah. thanks for the call. And if anybody was in that area, you should – did you report it to MUFON, by the way?
Not this one. I mean, I've had the most interesting one that I – it was so close, and it was a buddy of mine. We tried to take a picture of it. His cell phone, like, turned off, like, whenever he took a picture of it.
Right.
It was in Hickory, North Carolina. But that one was a very close experience, and we both saw it, and it was like a orange orb that came right over us, and we could even see that it was like a solid shape, but around it was like it almost seemed like a orange jello-ish, like, bubble or something.
Right.
That went over. So it was odd, you know, but...
Well,
yeah,
and Doug,
around this area, man, they happen all the time, and it's a pretty rural part of North Carolina. A lot of activity.
Always remember, man, take a picture. Thank you for the phone call, Doug. Let's go to Don in Vancouver. Don, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hello, how are you doing, Jim? I'm going back to the closing of that show. Well, I call it closing of the show. Boy, did she ever, that good doctor, and I'm using the word very loosely, she sure put the Coast audience down, eh? We're all a bunch of dummies, see? She was only asking, I was listening to it from 10 o'clock on, and she was only answering what she wanted to answer. She had her own agenda. And if there was were lots of people, would, especially that last guy with the permits and time. Well, he studied it a lot because I read the same thing. And she just put him down. She put everybody down that didn't ask questions that she wanted to her and that she had answers to. She had her own agenda all along that whole show. And you were so kind to her. I mean, I couldn't believe it, the way she butted out.
Yeah,
She just says, well, okay, Jim, I'm going to hang up on you. Because people had questions, and they had all good questions. They were all educated questions. They were all, they read about all this stuff. I listened to them all, except the guy with the banana.
Well, Don, and thank you for that, okay? And it's just the way that it is. But the Coast audience comes first always. So
yes, that's right. But she treated him like dirt.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Don.
All right, okay.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too.
And let's go to Jimmy in Maine, East Coast. Jimmy, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hello, Mr. Church.
How are you?
Well, you know, ladies and Egyptologist, you know, it's a rare form, rare person to talk to. I had a question about Semakar, who was Tut's brother, who was the pharaoh before Tut, who he was, what happened to him. All you find is, I just see his name. I don't find out how long he reigned or what was his connection, except being a half-brother to Tut.
Right, right, right.
And also, if she had aware of the latest autopsies on Tut's remains, apparently he had a club foot, malaria, a cleft palate, and they found over 60 walking sticks in his tomb.
Yes, yes,
he
yes.
It wasn't a real threat to anybody.
Right.
And buck teeth too.
Yes, 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 yes. He wasn't. He wasn't exactly a picture of health.
Yeah, kind of a product of interbreeding.
Yeah, it could have been a lot of different things, but yeah, you're right. They found quite a few different medical issues for him. I mean, was he murdered at that young of an age, or did he just die?
It didn't sound like he was in tip-top form. And also, the word Amun is in Hebrew, it's the same thing. After a prayer in Old Hebrew, Amun is said.
Right. Right, right, so right.
And the doctor, since he was a linguist, if, you know, Hebrews lived in Egypt for a few hundred years, maybe even close to 1,000 years, so maybe that old Hebrew, literary Hebrew, which is the scriptures, maybe that has a lot of the old Egyptian inflections in it.
Right, 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 right. Hey, Jimmy, you got a cool name.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Also, have you seen that video floating around with Roger Moore?
No, I haven't.
Okay, this is kind of, it surprised me to see Roger Moore in this. I saw it on YouTube. They found a tomb. The KGB, back in the 60s, the Russians were very close to Nasser, and they were doing a lot of work down there.
Oh, I've seen this. Yes, 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 yes. I have seen it. I have seen it. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty fascinating.
It is. Hey, Jimmy, you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, buddy, and I'm sorry, Mr. Doctor. I've waited up all night to talk to her.
That's okay, man. Thank you so much, Jimmy.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Raymond in Memphis, Tennessee. Raymond, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Well, thank you so much, first-time caller. And I normally don't call in, but the show was so fascinating. And then the doctor got pissed off, and I said, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to be able to answer any questions, but you hung in there, and thank you for the show. It was very enlightening. She said something that was very interesting, but first of all, the question that I wanted to ask that I haven't heard anyone really explain with any clarity, and that is, what happened to an icon in Egyptian history, and that's Cleopatra. I mean, here's a woman that reigned in the glory days.
And the last. Egypt. The last.
The last. And there's no picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be? There's
right.
no statue that has been found. And no one seems to know where her body went.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Raymond. And the other thing is, she didn't die from snake bites. You know how many? You know how many snake cobra bites would have had to? She would have been, you know, it'd have been 100 snakes. But thank you for the call, Raymond. Nobody really knows. And you know, that's right at the very end where we were actually documenting every day of the week and of the year. You know, people were documenting things.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Absolutely. One final question.
Sure.
A lot of things have been taken away, have been closed out, that the elites don't want us to know about. And I'm going to tell you something. Another thing that's occurring is what's happening with the rover on Mars. There's structures there. There's been artifacts there. That's our money that's rolling around. They don't want us to seem to know what's going on. But here's what's going to happen. And I predicted on your show, first time caller Raymond, within the next 3 to 5 years, there is going to be an unmistakable extraterrestrial landing. And I believe in these United States. But here is the question. Are you there?
I'm here, Raymond. I'm listening to everything.
Here is the question. Here's what the doctor said. We haven't had any peace since Nefertiti. Will extraterrestrials be able to land and communicate with us?
That's a great question.
I'll leave you with that.
Yeah.
Because we just don't seem to have it together as a planet. We're fighting from one end to this planet to the other. And it's disappointing, but a great show. I'll hang up and listen to any answers.
Yeah, thank you so much, Raymond. Great call. Let's go to Diana in Salt Lake City. Diana, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Diana.
I just called in for a comment. First-time caller, long-time listener. My concern with the doctor is I can understand her feelings, and I'm going to speak for her, is that an individual of her professionalism and her years and years and years of her experience and what she's achieved, and to take on the country as we all sit and listen to you, it's like sitting in our living rooms and having a living room chat. But with this lady, it's not a living room chat, and when you do ask these questions, in her process of thinking, it is from beginning, middle, and end, and each question needs to have the consideration that she wants to give, and realizing that it's not going to be able to be achieved, into a knee-jerk reaction. And we are all trained, I believe, lately, as of our involvement with technology, we as human beings are trying to keep up with the machine instead of letting the machine enhance us. And so I'm just real quickly, is that this lady is to be, I want to say hats off to her, because the subject was so intense and so involved and so many years of investigation that none of us can sit and challenge this lady and want an immediate answer on a subject that is so involved, and she needs to be respected. And if you need these answers, you know, it's time to get involved with seminars or get into the industry or go to any of her talks if you possibly can. But I think she was being challenged by a lot of people wanting to impress her with their intelligence, which did not work. And I can understand her frustration. And so that's what I'm calling about, is hats off to her, because what she does and her field is not to be done in a snippet of knee-jerk time.
Thank you for the call, Diana. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And now let's go to Michael in Albany, New York. Michael, last call of the night. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hello, Jimmy.
I'm here.
I'm listening to the program, and I've frequently seen a lot of things over Albany, including a white Delta airplane at 3:45 in the morning one winter, and that was about covering over one third of the sky over Albany. It had to be an interstellar craft. But the most recent was a couple of days ago. We put up on my blog the yantra of Aton, which is one of the Hindu gods. And I know that yantra because I saw it in a hole in space as I ran up the stairs going to work in New York from the subway. And I heard the name Aton, so I put it up on my blog. But I wondered, you know, you said that you should take pictures of things. I've taken pictures of angels and put them on the same blog, and I put orbs on the same blog. And the latest one is a full-color yantra, which is what I saw when I heard the name Aton.
Michael, I want to thank you for the call. You're the last call of the night here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your weekend. All right, listen, always, always keep your ears open. Always question everything. Never, ever believe anything that you hear. You go out and you investigate and you learn on your own. I want to thank George, Tom, Lisa, Stephanie, Chris, Nathan, and Gigi. Absolutely wonderful weekend here on Coast to Coast. Dr. Carmen Bolter, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Go Beckley Tepe.